Good morning, I'm Michael Lyon. Welcome to Events Calendar. Best-selling author Frank Schaefer speaks tonight at Countryside Community Church's Center for Faith Studies. His new book, Why I Am an Atheist Who Believes in God, explores love, loss, and the author's journey to finding peace. And he's been nice enough to join me in the studio this morning. Frank Schaefer, good morning.
Michael, thanks for having me in.
Let's talk, first of all, about what seems to be a fairly apparent contradiction in terms. How can you be an atheist and believe in God?
Well, the title of the book, Why I'm an Atheist Who Believes in God, is really my statement, I guess, to get away from these easy labels we attach to ourselves. You know, in my experience as a father and now grandfather of five grandchildren, life is a journey. And, you know, if I had to have stuck with what I believed when I was 20, say about fatherhood or God or any other subject, it would have been a pretty grim passage. So Why I'm an Atheist Who Believes in God is my protest, if you like, against being stuck with labels like atheist, agnostic, Christian. Frankly, I've never met someone who fits the label of Christian or atheist or Jew or agnostic or black or white or man or woman even. I've only met people like me who are on a journey, who change their opinions, who grow, who look back, say, in sorrow at mistakes they made. I don't meet people who are stuck in amber at any one point. So the title really is about a journey of faith, fatherhood, family, and all these other subjects that gets away from the idea that there are a few rules that you absolutely have to stick with. And if you leave those, your life is over. And instead embraces the idea that paradox is actually a good thing, that ambivalence is a good thing. Openness to change and to learning is really what makes relationships in marriages or father-son or father-daughter relationships, whatever it might be, work. So that's what the title's about. It's to open that door toward a journey, toward growth, towards an idea of spirituality that goes beyond a label.
I've heard that you do pray every day and you go to church every weekend. Why then do you say you're an atheist? What exactly does that mean to you?
Well, you know, I used to think that you had to fit into one box or another. You know, it's like saying, well, I've heard you're married to the same wife, but once in a while you still lust after other women. Then you make your choice to stay with the wife you're married to, which is one reason I've been married for 44 years. But let's not pretend I'm always that same person. Sometimes I go to church and I feel a sense of faith there. I happen to go to a Greek Orthodox church and have for the last 25 years, though I come from an evangelical background that I left. But I don't always go full of belief or faith. I'm a different person at different times in that experience. And I think that's true for a lot of people, but we don't like to admit it because we cling to our labels because they make us feel safe, make us feel part of a group to belong to.
Now, isn't this sort of lack of belief, though, merely the sort of questioning that many people of faith of all types experience?
I think you make a good point, Michael, and that's exactly my point. That is where millions of us here in America and other parts of the world are, but I think that we get stuck with this idea that you're either a believer or an unbeliever. Really, you know, I know pastors who have grave doubts. I know atheists who sometimes pray. I know atheists who love Handel's Messiah, even though they don't agree with the theology, and yet they're moved by the music to tears. Look, life is complex and beautiful and wonderful. Why do we get stuck with these little boxes and pretend that that's all we are? That's what my book is about.
It's been quite a journey for you. You mentioned your evangelical background. Kimberly Winston, writing for Religion News, says about you, quote, he's gone from steeped in the blood Christian to vocal non-believer, from Christian conservative to liberal Democrat, from Hollywood director to novelist, from angry young man to slightly less angry older man. How would you describe that journey? I don't know whether that's accurate in your opinion.
Well, I think it's accurate enough. It's a thumbnail sketch of a guy who grew up in a missionary family in Europe. My father was a famous evangelist, Dr. Francis Schaefer. You know, I'd look across the table. There'd be people at dinner there sometimes, like Barbara Bush or Billy Graham. We were in the religious right in the 70s and the early 80s. I flew around the country in Jerry Falwell's borrowed jet. I was part of the beginning of the religious right. I knew Jack Kemp and all these guys. You know, in the evangelical world, nepotism is kind of like in the mafia or the British royal family. You just accept it. If you look at all these big evangelical outfits, many of them, the father is followed by the son or half the family's on the payroll. I was in that kind of a family. And then in the mid-80s when my father died, I simply made a choice almost on an aesthetic basis rather than an evangelical or theological basis, that this world was not for me. It was just too ugly, too divisive. And I think what's happened in the culture war since then, and all these issues becoming litmus tests for politics and so on, has in some ways proved that instinct right. And I'm so glad I got out and began to write novels like my books Portofino, or a book that after Oprah interviewed me became a bestseller called Keeping Faith, A Father-Son Journey, a story about love in the United States Marine Corps. And I took on a completely different persona. So I've gone from this hotbed of religious activism into becoming a secular writer. But of course, I bring my own spiritual views and journey with me. So I don't pretend that's not my background. And in this new book, Why I'm an Atheist Who Believes in God, what I'm doing here is trying to explore how you can be a person of faith, but not be trapped in this idea of black and white, you're saved or lost, fundamentalist or atheist. There's another way. And that's what I'm trying to talk about here.
I know that you have conceded to some mistakes along the way, and some of those mistakes could certainly fall on one part or another of a moral spectrum, for example. And I want to ask you about the issue of objective truth when it comes to religion or faith versus a sort of subjectivity and experiencing the world that you seem to be writing about. Isn't there some rationale for people being able to have an objective truth that they can hang their hats on?
I think so, but you know, I also think that all of us develop a kind of a certainty addiction. You know, we evolve to look for patterns. You know, in the old days of human evolution, where the fruit was ripening, where we could find a mate, and so forth, and we carry that forward into the area of philosophy and theology at our peril, because really, these are not subjects where it's all black and white. And in fact, we were talking before we did this interview about a little passage in this book I'd like to read.
Please.
Kind of as an answer to that, to give you a sense of where I'm coming from. So this is an early passage in the book. My kaleidoscopic beliefs are fickle and motivated by desire, wishful thinking, and wanting to fit in with my family and community and to make my marriage work. My dogmatic declarations of faith once provided status, ego-stroking power over others, and a much better income than I've earned since fleeing the evangelical machine. Certainty made things simple, gave me an answer to every question, and paid the bills. With the acceptance of paradox came a new and blessed uncertainty that began to heal the mental illness called certainty, the kind of certainty that told me that my job was to be head of the home and to order around my wife and children because the Bible says so. Embracing paradox helped me discover that religion is a neurological disorder for which faith is the only cure. And that passage kind of exemplifies what I'm trying to get to in this book. And most of this book is different than that passage. It's mostly stories about my family and my grandchildren and being a father. But that's the kind of basis that I'm trying to lay for myself and for other people to open a door to a different view of faith and life than this kind of absolutist, fundamentalist versus atheist paradigm that we're stuck in now.
My guest this morning has been best-selling author Frank Schaefer. He's speaking tonight at Countryside Community Church's Center for Faith Studies. We've been talking in part about his new book and the topic of his talk tonight, Why I'm an Atheist Who Believes in God, which explores love, loss, and the author's journey to finding peace. The lecture starts at 7 p.m. tonight. Countryside Community Church is located at 87th and Pacific Street in Omaha. You can get more information and find out about tickets at centerforfaithstudies.org. Frank Schaefer, thanks so much.
Michael, thanks for having me.